when you're playing these leveraged fiat games, you can expect these things. Now, whether this was intentional or actually a bug, it's anybody's guess, but the result is the same.
I have a feeling more and more people are going to begin very slowly. It's going to take a while, but waking up to the reality that the bankers are not on your side. They have no interest in your well-being.
This story is like Godzilla versus King Kong, and you have these two giant entities, JP Morgan and Strategy, with 600 and something thousand Bitcoin. If that fight takes place in public, where do you want to be, right? Nowhere near it.
I strongly urge people who have not touched Bitcoin yet to at least study it, so you understand why it's so important before you buy a single Satoshi.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Greer and Tony with me. Gents, let's jump right into the news. So something a lot of people are talking about, why has Bitcoin been crashing? So Tom Lee, I think it was Friday, Greer, you and I were talking about this. He sent me a video and he says he knows what triggered the October 10th crash. And he talks about, he didn't name the exchange. I think we now know. Basically, Binance has their stablecoin. Due to an internal technical error, it dropped to 65 cents. So it depegged from the dollar. And so we had that happen. 1.7 million traders were liquidated in 24 hours. Almost 20 billion in positions were wiped out. Obviously, Bitcoin is the most liquid asset available 24/7 to be traded. So people started selling, and Binance acknowledged the technical issues and that contributed to these losses. And they paid out $283 million in compensation. They later added another $300 million relief package for through their Together initiative. Sounds very nice. Greer, why don't you give your thoughts on what your understanding of what's happening here and why we've seen this big dump lately?
This is great if you are a Bitcoiner and you hold your coins in self-custody, because really the only thing that changes is the dollar price on the screen. And, you know, this story coming out, and while it's speculative, it looks like all the pieces are lining up. And if you were afraid, or if you felt like your conviction was shaken, the fundamentals of Bitcoin has changed. Hopefully this story gives you confidence that Bitcoin is going to keep moving every 10 minutes, you know, tick tock, next block. Nothing has really changed. The bullish factors are all still there. The buyers are all still in place. And if this is true, what we saw was a bunch of degenerate traders getting liquidated. I feel bad for anyone who lost their portfolio, but the lesson that I would take away is, you know, hold your keys in self-custody. Do not play these games, and patiently, quietly stack sats every single week or whenever you have extra money. So I think that, you know, the dip probably won't last much longer than we're seeing right now. It could take a couple more weeks for the market to recover. But I anticipate that we'll see six-figure Bitcoin in the very short future.
So we've warned about, like, people, for example, not even playing this game, but the Bitcoin-backed loans, the risk of a margin call. So you might think, well, we're in a bull market or whatever. This is literally a technical glitch that may have caused this big drop, and you could be liquidated, you know, have that margin call, have to sell your Bitcoin, post more as collateral, take some out of self-custody if you had it to begin with. And like, these are the risks that the black swan sort of events for, you know, for people in their personal lives that they need to be aware of when they're playing these games. Tony, what do you think here?
This reminds me a bit of the Luna UST crash. This is exactly how it happens. UST depegged, and then it caused a cascading effect of nightmares. And it resulted in like a $60 or $80 billion market loss. So anyone who is affected by this, if in fact this was the reason, and it's certainly, you know, starting to point that way, when you're playing these leveraged fiat games, you know, you can expect these things. Now, whether this was intentional or actually a bug, it's anybody's guess, but the result is the same. If you're gambling, you know, with money that isn't money, well, you know, you're going to become a victim of these problems. No one that I know of that's holding Bitcoin in self-custody messaged me, like, not a single person, because of course, you know, they understand that all of these things are expected in the fiat world. The whole system is ending, and you know, we're going to see a lot more of this. So brace yourselves.
Yeah, well said. Alrighty. Speaking of Binance, founder CZ is now accused of facilitating payments to Hamas, the Financial Times reports. And I went back and I did find this article, verified it. So he was just pardoned by Trump And now they're saying he is facilitating payments to terrorists. Tony, does this surprise you at all?
Honestly, it doesn't surprise me. But then again, you know, like I'm not one to cast judgment on anyone because I don't have any, concrete proof. I mean, in this world, you know, when you get to a certain level and you play within these circles, I mean, this behavior is not very shocking. You know, like, I mean, you can't find somebody who's squeaky clean when you're walking, you know, in these circles. So maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Either way, I don't care. That entire world is dead in my head. I've walked away from it 6 years ago and I don't look back. And this is, you know, I push people to start adopting that same mindset. Live in the future, sound money, uncorruptible money. None of this garbage exists there.
I think that's a really good way of framing it, is just walking away from that world. There are, first of all, you should be Bitcoin only, and there are Bitcoin only companies, exchanges with much better reputations. Obviously, you know, when you're purchasing Bitcoin, there is some trust involved in that, especially on like a KYC exchange. But there are a lot less shady operations out there. So I'd encourage people to find those. If you work with the Bitcoin way, you probably know who they are. Greer, what's your take on CZ?
I think his best bet forward is to start a Truth Social account and start DMing Trump and requesting that second pardon. Whether this is real or not, I think we'll find out. This looks a little bit speculative to me. But I think if you're friends with the president, he can move mountains for you. So I wouldn't be surprised if some additional intervention happens.
This would be a tricky one to unwind from, though. The support for Israel from the Trump administration up to this point, and now it's like, well, you're funding their enemy. I don't know. We'll have to see. There are some specifications here. Numbers Matter responded, and they said 900 million in transactions linked to Hamas and other terrorist groups, 1.5 million violating trades. So a lot of detail. Again, it is speculative at this point, innocent until proven guilty. But I'll be interested to see how this plays out and if we'll be seeing CZ carted away to prison once more and then maybe pardoned again. Okay, guys, JP Morgan has debanked the accounts of CEO of Strike, so Jack Mahler's. I'll be honest with you. He's called Jamie Dimon, Epstein's banker, so many times. I was shocked just to find out he had an account at JP Morgan. I would think if he's going to have a bank account, he would have found somewhere else to do that. But Greer, what do you think about this? Is this deliberate, or is this just one of those, you know, people get debanked here and there and they close accounts?
That's a good question. You know, maybe it's expert level trolling where he opened the account just so he could dunk on them. But I also have heard Jack say that he lives on credit cards. He doesn't have any dollars, and he, at the end of the month, he pays off his credit cards with Bitcoin. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on here. But I think the real lesson here is that the financial institutions, if they're not embracing Bitcoin, they are trying to fight it or stop it or slow it down. Bitcoin removes the power from banks. And, you know, as Hal Finney once said, he views Bitcoin as the potential pristine asset that banks will hold on their balance sheets. And as this all plays out, I think what the common thread is that everyone wants Bitcoin. And if they don't want Bitcoin, it's just a matter of time until they do. So I think more to come on this one, but I was a little surprised to see he had a bank account there as well.
Tony, I would be way more shocked if I found out that you got debanked from JP Morgan than Jack Mahler's.
He's not that fortunate to debank me. I've already debanked him a long time ago, him and every other bank around the planet. It's very interesting to see this because it looks like, you know, like now they're turning on each other, right? Like the banks are killing other banks now. So if they can debank a CEO of another bank, like imagine what they're going to do to the regular folk that's out there. But I did some digging about this, and there's one story by Lola Leeds that really stood out to me as to why, after all this time, they debanked him now. And if it's true, that reason alone should petrify anyone with an account there or with any other bank. Apparently, the AML laws were upgraded and they had AI integrated, you know, inside that system, which scans social media. And so, of course, you know, we all know Jack Mahler's, you know, called him Epstein's banker many times. And I guess that algorithm must have, you know, stumbled across that post and flagged him. And of course, you know, they don't like being called these names. And so they shut him down. Now, whether that's true or not, it's anybody's guess. But the fact that something like this is in play, it should be alarming. First of all, if you have an account at JP Morgan, I don't know why you would keep it, considering, you know, all the facts that are, you know, have come out now. But that's supposed to tell you that this is a very dirty, dirty world, man. This is a very dirty organization. All of it, the fiat system is just corrupt to the core. No matter, you know, no matter which direction you go, you're going to find yourself muddied with something. And so again, the best way to do it is to stop using their product. You cannot go to war with these people. This octopus is way too big. It's been around for way too long. The only way to destroy it is to simply stop using it. Like, it couldn't be simpler. You opt out. Now that there is an option available to the world, Bitcoin in full self-custody, and you start using clean money. And you simply let that world die, which it is, on its own. You don't need to be a calamity, you know, like a casualty of its collapse.
Tony, I think that's a really important point you raise. Whether the AI detection technologies are real or being used at the moment, there's the capacity for that to be used in the future. And if you're going to be dependent on, you know, biting your tongue, basically, to continue to be banked, there's no better justification for Bitcoin in self-custody than that, because people say a lot of crazy stuff. And you see, even like anonymous accounts, you know, they've got the blue check mark. Someone knows who they are. So be careful out there. Buy Bitcoin, take self-custody. All righty. Speaking of JP Morgan, so there's been this sort of debate about JP Morgan maybe manipulating strategies, stock price, or shorting it, selling it. It says huge numbers of users are reportedly rushing to close accounts at JP Morgan after the bank's attack on Strategy. It's targeting the Bitcoiners and its latest data leak. Actions have consequences. I think this is going to be a problem for JP Morgan, because there are probably a material number of people who are attuned to what's going on and opting out. I have a feeling more and more people are going to begin very slowly. It's going to take a while, but waking up to the reality that the bankers are not on your side. They have no interest in your well-being. Tony, what would you say to this news?
Man, these people, again, they're like the dirtiest of the dirty crowd that's out there. Their product is so bad. And what's worse is that they're weaponizing it against you. Like, why would you remain, you know, using their money? Like, it makes absolutely no sense. And indirectly, by association, you know, you're funding all of the same corruption and the same things, you know, most people are against. And so, you know, a lot of folks seem like they think they're stuck because, you know, that's all they've known their entire lives. But no one's stuck. I get that it's new. I get that it might be overwhelming. But all of these thoughts, they're usually here because it's an unknown. But that unknown has never been more easy, you know, to learn. Bitcoin in self-custody, just think about it as like another form of money, because that's what it is. You've got, you know, the dollar, the euro, the yen, and now you've got this one called Bitcoin. The main difference being is that it's not issued by a government or a country or a leader or a politician. It's not issued by anyone. It's not controlled by anyone. It's, you know, it's powered by energy. It has its own set of rules, which I, you know, which no one can screw around with. It's protected by math. And so learn how to use it. Walk into the future and leave all this junk behind. And, you know, that's how you cleanse yourself, you know, on so many levels. That's why a lot of people, you know, talk about Bitcoin in such a spiritual way, because, you know, like, once you go down that rabbit hole, you know, the truth, you know, comes at you in, from all directions. And you're like, oh, my gosh, like, how could I have been so blind, you know, for so long? And, you know, like, it readjusts your ego. So I strongly urge people who have not touched Bitcoin yet to at least study it so you understand why it's so important before you buy a single Satoshi. Understand what it is first. And then once it clicks, because, you know, any normal, rational human being, it's going to click for you. And once it does, you'll see how you're going to rush into that future.
Greer, anything you'd add?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, this story is like Godzilla versus King Kong, you know, and you have these two giant entities, JP Morgan and Strategy, with 600 and something thousand Bitcoin. And, you know, if that fight takes place in public, where do you want to be, right? Nowhere near it. And I think with a lot of the stories we've read this morning, I keep thinking that, you know, I want to be a bystander in all of this. I don't want to really pick a side whether MicroStrategy wins or JP Morgan wins, because I don't have any interest in either one of those. You know, as a Bitcoiner, I can stand on the sidelines, watch these two behemoths battle it out, and it really doesn't affect me. Some of this activity can adjust the short-term price of Bitcoin, but I don't think it's going to adjust the long-term price. And that's kind of where my focus is. So I think the safest place to be is somewhere where this won't affect you. And obviously that for me is in Bitcoin.
So leave JP Morgan. Don't worry about strategy. Buy Bitcoin. All the same things, guys. We're boring here sometimes. All righty. Up next, we've got Ray Dalio. He said that Bitcoin's not going to be a reserve currency for major countries because it can be tracked and it could be hacked. Let's watch this video real quick.
I have a small percentage of Bitcoin I've had for forever, like 1% of my portfolios.
But do you think you should have more? We keep watching.
But I think I've said the same thing over and over again about Bitcoin. I think the problem of Bitcoin is it's not going to be a reserve currency for a major countries because it can be tracked and it could be conceivably with quantum computing controlled, hacked, and so on and so forth.
All righty, Tony, why don't you give your thoughts on the, well, actually, both of them. It could be tracked or hacked. Why don't you maybe dispel any concern around these things?
Man, this is just, you know, dinosaurs talking, you know, and people who don't understand the tech and are just, you know, talking about Bitcoin as another speculation. This is the type of rubbish that they spew out. Bitcoin's been around for over 16 years, and God knows how many attempts to hack it, crash it, ban it, kill it have been made, right? And yet here it is still standing stronger than ever, and with a lot more folks paying attention to it. And so the chances of this happening, while of course, you know, it's never zero, are extremely slim, especially now more than ever, considering how many people are invested in it. And he's absolutely wrong about it not being the future reserve currency. In my head, like for me, this is a 100% guarantee, simply because no government, no country trusts one another. And now that there's an option to use, you know, neutral money, it's the obvious choice. They're never going to settle on anything else. And so it's just a question of time, you know, because those in power, those corrupt people in power, you know, they want to remain there and they're going to do whatever they can to extend, you know, their relevancy. But it's, you know, every week that passes by, that deadline gets, you know, shorter and shorter. So if you're still on the sidelines wondering whether Bitcoin is a scam, whether people like this guy have any relevancy, you're missing out. And you're going to regret it, like, immensely in the not-so-distant future as to why you wasted so much time.
Yeah, I would say that if you're concerned about it being tracked, well, that's a hell of a lot better than we have with Fort Knox right now. Nothing is tracked there. And if you're worried about it being hacked, which would be quite an obstacle to overcome, we've talked about this on Banter throughout, like, government agencies being hacked. I mean, banks being hacked. Like, do you think nothing is 100% immune to being hacked? But if there's anything that's unlikely to be, it's the largest distributed network backed by power in the entire world, in the entire history of humanity. So that's my thought on this. This is just short-sighted, you know, a guy who doesn't understand the tech, Tony, to your point. Greer, what do you think about Ray Dalio?
This one's odd because I remember reading last week that Ray Dalio has a percentage of his portfolio in Bitcoin. And maybe somebody can jump in the comments and tell us what it is. I think it was either 1% or 3%. Because last week, I remember everyone being excited that he was into Bitcoin. So this just comes off as odd. If you don't know who Steve Henke is, I would encourage you to go listen to the Bitcoin Standard podcast with Saif Edina Moose and go back to 2021, where Saif Edina adequately and completely destroys Steve's arguments for why Bitcoin won't work. I listened to it early on in my journey, and it was one of those things that just clicked for me. Bitcoin has an endless number of haters and people saying it's not going to be this or it's not going to be that. But the truth is, Bitcoin's not going away. It won't go away. And over time, it will only grow. So I think the best place to be is, you know, on the right side of what's happening here. So I also just call into question this, you know, this complete narrative around whether Ray Dalio is truly into Bitcoin or not.
Yeah. Alrighty. So regardless of what Ray says, guys, it's time to get stacking. So Sminston With, he said that Bitcoin has a way of getting away from you. And he has this awesome chart. Lines represent how long it takes to stack one Bitcoin if you start in that year. So if we look at like 2025 right now, if you put in $300 per week, it's going to take you a decade to reach one Bitcoin. Now, that's concerning that you might never reach a Bitcoin. You're probably not if you're just a normal person like myself. But having 0.1, having 0.2, whatever you can get to is going to be more valuable than any other allocation of the resources that you have. So this is not a discouragement to stay out of Bitcoin, but it's to warn you that you're going to get less and less as time goes on. Because if you look at the year 2033, you'd have to put $1,000 in a week and it would still take you 30 plus years to reach one Bitcoin based on, I assume this is like moving averages, you know, through time or something like that.
It's, I don't know how you built the chart.
Oh, is it power law based? Okay.
Yep.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, interesting chart. Greer, what would you say to people who I think are probably looking at this and they're like, I'm never going to make it, not worth it?
This chart to me says smash buy. And that's a question that Bitcoiners always have. What's better? Should I dollar cost average or should I smash buy? And if you're in the position to smash buy, that's what you should do. You shouldn't just wait, you know, 6 months to bleed out whatever amount of cash that you have to put into Bitcoin. Get as much as you can immediately as possible. And then wait. And I think once you have sort of a foundation of Bitcoin, then you dollar cost average. You know, this is not financial advice, this is just my perspective. But this chart says, you know, even in the best case scenario, let's say you can spend, you know, $1,000 a week, which is a pretty good amount for, you know, most Americans, with the salary being $62,000 on average. I mean, it's still going to take you a lot of time. It still could take you years to stack a full Bitcoin. As the price escapes, I think the other lesson is don't sell your Bitcoin, because as the price moves up, it just becomes a target that gets further and further and further away. So life is tough. I get it. I think we're all getting pinched on one end or the other, but the best thing you can do is hold on to your Bitcoin and wait.
Yeah. I would say if you're trying to decide between a DCA strategy and a smash buy, the answer is a resounding yes. Tony.
Yeah, man, this is the cost of wasting time.
It's concerning for a lot of people.
yeah, of course. I mean, this is the cost of, you know, of wasting time. The more you linger on zero wondering if this is, you know, real or not, well, you know, the more expensive it's going to get. And the funny thing is, I mean, this chart can be destroyed, you know, within minutes. Like if Bitcoin goes up by a few hundred points, all of these numbers get exponentially wider, right? And the worst part of this is that the days of buying Bitcoin, you know, even in small numbers, those are going to disappear like very, very soon. Simply because of the scarcity, right? 21 million or whatever's left now, 95% of it's already mined, and, you know, a lot of people are buying it. And so at some point down the line, you know, when everybody's using Bitcoin, most of people won't even realize that it is Bitcoin in the background. They'll just be using it, you know, just like an extension of whatever it is that they're currently on now. But the days of owning the UTXO, where that real power and generational wealth, you know, that shift that everybody's talking about, that happens now. For people who are owning the UTXOs in 100% self-custody. So if you're in a position to do this, you know, you can get yourself any amount. And don't worry that the number on the screen is small. Like, don't belittle it or think it's like a pathetic one, because that represents a purchasing power, you know, much larger than you can possibly imagine. Much larger than anyone can possibly imagine, because we've never had anything like this. So there's no comparison point. But, you know, when 8 billion people, you know, finally, you know, adopt Bitcoin in, you know, one way or another, well, you know, that tiny number is going to stretch, you know, for a very, very long time, especially as we're headed towards a world with AI, where the cost of everything is going to, you know, pretty much go down to zero as well, right? So this is why you hear conversations now about a world where nobody needs to work. Because why would you? You have machines doing everything for free. And so you'll have more time to do whatever it is that you want. I mean, of course, you're going to need some money to, you know, I guess to live on, you know, in some way, shape or form. But the amount that you'll need, you know, by then is tiny compared to what it is now. So if you're in a position to still, you know, acquire some Bitcoin, whether it's DCA or Smash Buy, I mean, there's no right or wrong answer. You pick your flavor. Just make sure you hold it in self-custody. Don't leave it on an exchange or trust it to another institution, because you will lose it that way.
All righty. Up next, we're not going to get into the details of this article, but Dimitri Kofinas, I don't know how to say the name. He said, we've created a system where the only way to survive is to be destitute enough to qualify for aid or rich enough to ignore the cost. Everyone in the middle is being cannibalized. The rich know this, and they are increasingly opting out of the shared spaces. So I went into the article. Basically, my TLDR is the metrics and the math used to calculate what the poverty line, at least in the US from like the 1960s, I think it was, said, hey, if you're, you know, below $30,000 for a family of four, that's the poverty line. Now, if you adjust the numbers, you adjust the cost of not just groceries, which was one of the big expenditures during that time, but healthcare, you know, insurance, you've got college education, those sorts of things. You're now looking at a poverty line of something close to $131,000. So insane to imagine a family of four can't be adequately taken care of, cared for at $130,000. But this is sad, and honestly, it's believable. Tony, what's your takeaway?
The thing is, this is a very scary reality, and I don't think the media talks about this enough. I was watching a documentary the other day about how bad the situation in the U.S. is. I'm not sure if you know this, but you know, in Las Vegas, you know, one of the wealthiest states out there. Did you know that there's a population of mole people that live in tunnels underneath all of these casinos? People that have never seen, you know, never seen daylight, living in the worst possible conditions. That's not the worst part. The worst part is in the last five or so years, there's an overpopulation in these tunnels where, you know, people are living in the worst conditions imaginable. If it rains, just to give you an example, if it rains for like 10, 15 minutes, people die in these tunnels because of flooding. Yet these people have nowhere else to go. Like, this is just one example of how bad things are and that nobody's talking about this. So at $131K a year to be considered, you know, under the poverty line, that means almost the whole country is beyond homeless, because most people are not making anywhere near these numbers.
Yeah. It truly, when you look at the math, because I mean, even something is trivial, what should be trivial is like your health insurance here in the US, which unless you're on an employer plan, you know, if you're paying like for a private plan or something like that, you could be looking at high hundreds, multi-thousand dollars per month. So that immediately it's in. You look at like someone like Parker Lewis talks about, like he uses the cost of ground beef, or I'm sorry, of ribeye steak as like a metric for what real inflation is. He's been going back to the same butcher shop or grocery store and looking at it. And it's, I mean, we're like talking 30% plus inflation. It's understandable that even if you're making $100,000 a year, when you put in your mortgage, when you put in your health insurance costs, groceries, and then just trying to do a trip, a vacations, one fun thing per year, you're not going to make ends meet. It dissipates so quickly. And then the other thing they added was childcare costs. We've got more families who've got two people working and they're sending their kids to daycare all day, every day. And that's like 30 something thousand dollars a year on average. So it's crazy. Greer, are you back with us, man?
I'm back. Sorry, guys. Lost power here.
No, you're good, man. We had a great chat about this, but any other comments on the cost of living?
I think it's just tough. You know, it just shows you this intro into the article just says it all. You know, we're seeing a wider separation of the rich and the poor, and it looks like the people who were successful making six-figure income at their work, you're also poor now. So not great news. And, you know, I don't have a lot of hope in the administration or our political leaders to turn this around. I think you guys probably said it while I was gone, you know, the money's broken. And until that fixed, none of this really improves.
All righty. Last up, guys, the Wolf of All Street, Scott, is warning us. VanEck CEO warns Bitcoin may be losing ground as OG investors shift toward privacy-focused Zcash. And just to be clear, our friend Adam Semeca was, you know, basically like, why are you posting this? He says, I'm giga long BTC and own no Zcash. He did not disclose voluntarily or otherwise whether or not maybe he could have been paid for this type of post. I'm sure that would have never happened, though. But Greer, what do you think? Are OGs leaving Bitcoin for Zcash?
I don't think so. I think that this looks like, and I don't know for sure, but it looks like somebody might have been paid to say something, because we've seen other very influential personalities get emails and say, hey, will you shill our crypto coin? You know, I think if you're a Bitcoiner, you can smell this a mile away. And I think the narratives are just going to continue building. And I think it's really a desperation. Like, you know, they finally reached this stage where they have enough capital where they can buy media. And I think that's what we're seeing play out across social.
I think this is a life lesson a lot of people are going to need to learn. Just don't buy shit coins and don't pay attention to what people are saying, because they're probably being paid. And again, highly speculative. I don't know if Scott's been paid for this. Tony, what would you add to round this all out?
Keep your feed clean, man. I automatically mute this rubbish and just focus on real signal. You know, like, I mean, if anyone's dumb enough to believe this, well, you know, you've got bigger problems that you need to sort out first.
Well, Tony, you have the luxury. Greer and I are the ones pulling all these stories, so you have the luxury of muting them. We got to pay attention to all this nonsense just so we can make fun of them, you know, after the fact on Bitcoin Banter. But
of course, I mean, I read them, you know, like because this is not the only place the stuff is posted. I mean, stories like this, you'll find them in 100 million other posts. It's just, you know, once you see it out there, you know, I become like on autopilot. It's like mute. The thing is, but a lot of folks, you know, don't pay attention to this. I mean, they just read it, and a lot of folks sadly believe it. And, you know, these are the folks that keep running in circles, you know, really going nowhere. It takes discipline, really. I mean, to improve your life, it's not just going to land from the sky. You have to put in the work, you know, like you have to do the work. You have to understand what's going on in the world. You have to go back to basics, you know, like when my life blew up, this is literally when I went back to the history of money. This is why right now there's no force in the universe that'll shake my conviction in Bitcoin. It's because I know, you know, where the trouble began, you know, from day one. And until you get to that point, you might be influenced by this spam. But, you know, hopefully less and less people will over time.
Yeah. One quick addition along those lines. First of all, happy Thanksgiving, everyone here in the States. I know this is going to be a busy week. If you're going to be around friends and family, you're talking about Bitcoin. One of the things, besides talking about the macro and the moral issues around all of this, make sure you are clear that you are not a crypto apologist. You are Bitcoin only, because I think there are a lot of people who, you know, they think, oh, you're into Bitcoin. Hey, what do you think about XRP? Well, the answer is, I think it's a piece of shit. So, like, make sure you're upfront about that. Don't save that till the end after they've already purchased something, you know, some shitcoin on Coinbase. And then the other thing is, just for everyone who tuned in, first of all, thank you for being here, obviously. So, you know, you need to go subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on X, because we have a webinar next month here in December with Larry Lepard that we're going to be sharing soon. He's going to do Q&A, so answer your questions about what's going on with Bitcoin, sort of projections into 2026, what he thinks we should anticipate seeing, so you're not going to want to miss that. But gents, always a pleasure chatting with you. To everyone in the U.S., again, happy Thanksgiving. We look forward to having you back next week.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys, and thanks.
Thank you.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance.
Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.